22. It was Jim's turn to cry. His face was streaked with angry tears as we made our way through the cheerful crowd. "It ain't right," he muttered all the way to the corner of the square where we found Atticus waiting. Atticus was standing under the streetlight, looking as though nothing had happened. His vest was buttoned, his collar and tie were neatly in place, his watch chain glistened. He was his impassive self again. "It ain't right, Atticus," said Jim. "No, son, it's not right." We walked home. Aunt Alexandra was waiting up. She was in her dressing gown, and I could have sworn she had on her corset underneath it. "I'm sorry, brother," she murmured, having never heard her call Atticus brother before. I stole a glance at Jim, but he was not listening. He would look up at Atticus, then down at the floor, and I wondered if he thought Atticus somehow responsible for Tom Robinson's conviction. "Is he all right?" Auntie asked, indicating Jim. "He'll be so presently," said Atticus. "It was a little too strong for him." Our father sighed. "I'm going to bed," he said. "If I don't wake up in the morning, don't call me." I didn't think it wise in the first place to let them. "This is their home, sister," said Atticus. "We've made it this way for them. They might as well learn to cope with it." "But they don't have to go to the courthouse and wallow in it. It's just as much Macomb County as missionary teas." "Atticus," Aunt Alexandra's eyes were anxious, "you are the last person I thought would turn bitter over this." "I'm not bitter, just tired. I'm going to bed." "Atticus," said Jim bleakly. He turned in the doorway. "What, son?" "How could they do it? How could they?" "I don't know, but they did it. They've done it before, and they did it tonight, and they'll do it again. And when they do it, seems that only children weep. Good night." But things are always better in the morning. Atticus rose at his usual ungodly hour and was in the living room behind the mobile register when we stumbled in. Jim's morning face posed the question his sleepy lips struggled to ask. "It's not time to worry yet," Atticus reassured him as we went to the dining room. "We're not through yet. There'll be an appeal, you can count on that. Gracious alive, Cal, what's all this?" He was staring at his breakfast plate. "Calpurnia said, 'Tom Robinson's daddy sent you along this chicken this morning. I fixed it.' You tell him I'm proud to get it. Bet they don't have chicken for breakfast at the White House. What are these?" "Rolls," said Calpurnia. "Estelle down at the hotel sent them." Atticus looked up at her, puzzled, and she said, "You better step out here and see what's in the kitchen, Mr. Finch." We followed him. The kitchen table was loaded with enough food to bury the family. Hunks of salt pork, tomatoes, beans, even scuppernongs. Atticus grinned when he found a jar of pickled pig's knuckles. "Reckon Annie'll let me eat these in the dining room?" Calpurnia said, "This was all round the back steps when I got here this morning. They appreciate what you did, Mr. Finch. They aren't overstepping themselves, are they?" Atticus's eyes filled with tears. He did not speak for a moment. "Tell them I'm very grateful," he said. Tell them they must never do this again. Times are too hard." He left the kitchen, went in the dining room, and excused himself to Aunt Alexandra, put on his hat, and went to town. We heard Dill's step in the hall, so Calpurnia left Atticus's uneaten breakfast on the table. Between rabbit bites, Dill told us of Miss Rachel's reaction to last night, which was, if a man like Atticus Finch wants to butt his head against the stone wall, it's his head.
I'd have got her told, growled Dill, gnawing a chicken leg, but she didn't look much like telling this morning. Said she was up half the night wondering where I was. Said she'd have had the sheriff after me, but he was at the hearing.
Dill, you got to stop going off without telling her, said Jim. It just aggravates her.
Dill sighed patiently. I told her till I was blue in the face where I was going. She'd just seen too many snakes in the closet. But that woman drinks a pint for breakfast every morning. No, she drinks 2 glasses full. Seen her.
Don't talk like that, Dill, said Aunt Alexandra. It's not becoming to a child. It's cynical.
I ain't cynical, Miss Alexandra. Telling the truth's not cynical, is it?
The way you tell it, it is. Jim's eyes flashed at her, but he said to Dill, Let's go. You can take that runner with you.